I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of little children. We're going to read Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. I may read that in a couple of places. And Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 9. So if you want to find those places. And then as we normally will, we'll give you some other passages of Scripture as we go along. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And as I said last week, because we were doing about three or four sermons on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, that's used interchangeably. They both mean the same thing. The kingdom of heaven in some places are used, and the kingdom of God in other places are used, but they mean actually God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus came to do, is to translate us out from the kingdom and power of darkness and translate us into his kingdom. Then Jesus called a little child to him. I want you to visualize this. Jesus probably maybe sitting out on a hill, mountainside or hillside, and hundreds of people, maybe even thousands around him, his disciples with him. And he's asking his disciples this question. We'll find out in a minute just what he's talking about. He's asking them, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And he's called the little child, set the little child in his lap, and said, verse 3, Matthew 18, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children," everybody say converted, "and become as little children." So a part of our conversion, anybody's conversion, and we all have to be converted in order to enter the kingdom of God, right? To be saved. In order to be converted, we have to become as little children. "Unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whosoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So the greatest person, according to the Lord Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven is someone that's humbled himself and become like a little child. "Whoever receives one little child," verse 5, and child like this in my name receives me. "But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. Verse 9, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And I want to go to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. A lot of the families, parents were bringing their little children and bringing them to Jesus and wanting him to touch them, probably pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus, verse 14, Mark 10, "But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly,'" verse 15, "I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, verse 16, and put his hands on them and blessed them. And we can find that also in Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that he's talking to his disciples here? And he said, what were you guys disputing among yourselves when we were coming along the way? We were coming here, y'all were having a big discussion and a dispute. Well, what were y'all talking about? Verse 34, of course he knew. But they held their peace. I guess they were ashamed because, by the way, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, and he called the 12, and he said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Verse 36 of Mark 9, he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Go to Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them would be the greatest. This is the disciples. Verse 47 of Luke 9. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me, for he that is least among you all, the same shall be the greatest. So, as adults, and as Christians, oftentimes we make the Christian life a very difficult and complex set of circumstances. And we do have spiritual warfare, and it is sometimes not simple when we start doing spiritual warfare. But it seems like in our lives at sometimes and in our minds, we get cloudy, then we get confused, things get complicated, circumstances and situations in our lives come in, and our moods and our feelings are changing, and as we go through our day-to-day lives, difficulties, stresses, worries try to come in, spiritual warfare. And such all of these combine to leave us sometimes very confused and frustrated. The Christian life, it seems, if we have been there very long and have been going through it, it's not very simple. It seems like we have more trouble sometimes when we become Christians than we did before we ever. Because we're born again, and we've been translated out of the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we have a spiritual battle going on. The Bible tells us the flesh, in Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if we be led of the spirit, then we won't be fulfilling the desires of the flesh. The Bible warns us to beware of having our minds corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I fear lest somehow, he's talking to Christian people here, because he said, Paul, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I think the best example of the simplicity of being in Christ is illustrated for us by the Lord Jesus when he spoke of children. He gave a great object lesson when he called a little child to himself, and he set the little fellow in their midst, and he said, I want you to look at this little child, and I want you to observe the fact that this little one, how he is, what he thinks, considered what he's like. And so that's the reason I titled this Little Children, because I think there's some things that we need to look at as we look at little children and try to have these qualities or these things come to pass, and what we can do to be God's little children and please Him, because we're living in a success-oriented world. And Christianity as a religion and church and denominationalisms and things like that, they're very much success-oriented, just like the rest of the world is. We all want to be successful. And I know that of ministers that have literally got into the ministry because they wanted to be looked up to and admired. And their whole purpose in life was to build up themselves, and you know, and they didn't care what they had to do that. And I don't think any of us want to be unsuccessful. And I don't think God wants us to be unsuccessful. But I think we need to understand the most successful life that we can live is the life of a Christian, being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and being filled with His Spirit. And then He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He tells us not to worry about anything, but to cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. But if we're not careful, because we're in this spiritual warfare, and we're supposed to be all the children of God by faith. The Bible says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? And without faith, you can't please God. So we have to walk by faith and not by sight. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got to get into the Word of God and get that in us so we can grow and be what God wants us to be. Amen? That's the only way we can be the children that God wants us to be. But when we do that, and as we trust Him, we find out that even though we're not exempt from problems and troubles of life, everybody goes through circumstances, situations in life, right? But we find then, as we go through those circumstances and situations in life, that we're fighting the good fight of faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. Say fight. Your faith is going to be a fight. Amen? And so the deal is that we need to learn, because what is faith? Faith is trust. We trust God. As we trust God and have faith in God, then God begins to supply our needs. Now, He doesn't always supply our needs right at the moment. Sometimes He answers prayers immediately or takes care of needs that, you know, just automatically does that. In fact, and especially for His children. But there's sometimes He doesn't take care of that need. He doesn't meet that need right away. And then that's when our faith is tried and tested. And if our faith's not tried and tested, it can't grow, because faith has to be tested in order to grow and to be strengthened. Amen? So I'm saying all this not to discourage people. I'm saying this to encourage God's children, all of us who have been born again by the Spirit of God, to be encouraged, because you don't have to worry about anything. God's going to take care of you. And the primary way He takes care of us first is that we're born again into the kingdom of God, and that makes us His children. There's a lot of people that think erroneously that because they're born into this world, that they're born into God's kingdom, because God is God over everything, and He is. But to be born in this world doesn't mean that we're in His kingdom. When Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, He was saying that there's an experience. He told Nicodemus, you're going to have to be born again. You're in the world's kingdom, but if you want to be in My Father's kingdom, you want to be in My kingdom, you're going to have to be born again. And you didn't have anything at all to do with your first birth. You may have kicked a little bit when in your mom's tummy and let her know you're there. Amen? But you couldn't get out until she gave birth. Amen? And so the same thing happens in the spiritual kingdom. We're not into God's kingdom until we experience a spiritual birth. Because that's the only way you can get into the kingdom of God is to be born again. And you can't birth yourself by doing anything good. It's not good works or keeping commandments or all any other of these things. You have to come simply, listen, as a little child and bow before Him as a little child and say, God, I need You to save this little child. I need to be born again. I want to enter into Your kingdom. And the Bible says that if we will confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we're saved. And God performs that miracle of new birth at that moment in our lives, no matter where we are when we did that. If we meant it with all of our heart, we were saved. We're born again. And that's a birth from God. And then, God is not just what people say, well, God's my Heavenly Father because I'm born into this world. No. He's not our Heavenly Father until we've been born again of His Spirit. And that's why He says we have to be born again. And it's not a religious thing. It's an experience with a relationship with the living God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's what we need. And people don't have to get all worried and concerned about that because it's really simple. But God so loved the world. How many of you, He's not talking about this ball of dirt floating out here in space. He's talking, when He says God so loved the world, He's talking about people. And He's not just talking about a few people. He's talking about every person that's been born from the time of Adam and Eve until we come to the end of time, and there's no more children or people being born. He died for the sins of the whole world, and like I say, God loves you, and His Son died for you, whether you like it or not. But we have to accept that. If we don't accept that, by confession, becoming a little child, and confessing our sins, and God, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved, is what the Bible says. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, so here we come to some growth. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now that's normal, natural. That's growth. But the same thing happens in us as Christians. The Bible tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen? That we are to grow in the love and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 14:20, chapter 14, verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So he wants you to grow up and get some information and knowledge and understanding. Amen? All of us. And malice there means he doesn't want us to have a desire to cause pain or injury or distress to anybody, to other people. He wants us to love them. So some of the best of examples that I can give you, the simplicity of being in Christ is this, and I believe it illustrated for us. For when we look at a little child and consider him, I want you to look at the fact that to a little child, life is a very simple thing. You listening? They don't have fear, basically. They don't have enough sense to know that you don't get in the street or that you don't get around some animal that's going to bite you. They have to be taught that. They just are happy. Amen? Most of them, unless they have a cruel father. Now, I was thinking about this morning. You know, to some people you can't use their earthly father, unfortunately, as an example of someone who loved them and cared for them, because there's some people out there in their lives that didn't have good earthly fathers. They beat them. They ignored them. They disrespected them. They treated them like they weren't even their children. They just didn't even, it was like they weren't loved or cared for at all by their father. So that would not, saying God is like your father, wouldn't be good to them. You wouldn't want to talk. They don't want a father like that. They want a heavenly father. Amen? That's a good God. And they want a father. And some people have fathers that their fathers were good. They took care of them. They supplied their needs. They loved them. I never will forget. You know, my dad was always working. I was always there. I knew my mom loved me, but my dad was always gone working on it. And one time I think it was the mumps or the measles, and I was sick as a dog in bed. And my dad come in to my bedroom, and he handed me a little pocket knife and gave me a hug. And it was about, like that little pocket knife. And that's the first time that my dad really did something that as a child I understood. He cared about me. He knew I was there. He knew what was going on, and he loved me. And God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, does that. He does that really for everybody, for God so loved the world, but for his children. Can I say something to you if you're a child of God? Get ready for some very special treatment from God, because he knows you're one of his children, and he knows where you are, and he knows what you're going through, and he loves you, and he cares about you. And no matter what the world says or what your mind, that the enemy's trying to tell us in our minds, that he doesn't love us and he hates us and we'll never be any good. We can't be any good, and God hates us, and he doesn't love us, and he doesn't care for us. We know inside of us, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. If nothing else, we feel and sense that God does love us. Amen? And there's no words for that. I knew when I was born again, I didn't understand it, but I knew when I was born again that something had happened in my life, and I knew that somehow I was, because I was lost, and I knew if I died in my sins, I was going to go to hell. And so when I came to the altar and knelt down and I said, Lord, I need to be saved. I didn't want to go to hell is the reason I wanted to get saved. Amen. It wasn't because I loved God. Because as a young man, teenager, wild, crazy, nut like I was, I didn't want to have anything to do with God. And I was brought up in church. I was baptized in church when I was 12 years old. But it didn't make any difference. Y'all, you know, from 13 on, my dad didn't know what he... When I brought papers for him to sign for me to go in the military, I never seen such a happy smile on his face in my whole life. He was glad to get rid of me. Amen? But when I came to my Heavenly Father and said, God, something's got to happen in my life. And I called on Him. I have never been the same since then. Amen. Have I been perfect? Heavens no. But I have been saved. And I have been born again. And I am a child of God. And I've grown in the grace and in the love and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what I'm telling you is not just because it's from the Bible. I'm telling you from, well, I'll soon be 86. And I've been walking with the Lord for, since I was 19. So that's 20, 60 some odd years. I'm telling you from 60 some odd years of experience in my life. And my wife went on to be with the Lord here 3 or 4 years ago, and I was concerned. I miss her, but I know that she's not gone. She's not here, but I know where she is, and I know one day I'm going to be there with her. Amen? So none of that bothers us. Are you with me? We're born again by the Spirit of God, and God bears witness that with our spirits that we are the children of God. So here, life is very simple then. Do I have problems and issues with rent and car payments and making a living and with children and bringing up teenagers? And yeah. Well, all of us parents that do. But God knows where we are, and He helps us through all of these things, and He says we can cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. So life is very simple, should be very simple for us. The second thing, little children trust just about everybody. They trust everybody. Yeah, they have to be taught to fear strangers and others and other fears. They have to be taught that. And we teach them, you know, don't, for example, there's nothing wrong with a stove. There's nothing wrong with a heater. But you need to understand that you don't go over there and put your hand on it. And so, what do they normally do? Put their hand on it. Ow, ooh, ow. Start crying. I told you not to put your hand on it. So, you understand? They learn things by being obedient and sometimes by being disobedient. So, we're in our spiritual realm as God's children, we sometimes have to learn things by being obedient and by being disobedient. He tells us, I don't want you to do that, and we go do it anyway, and then we find ourselves in trouble, and we say, God, where are you? And He's saying, I told you not to do that in the first place. And it's not that He takes us to the woodshed. Our experiences take us to the woodshed. And we often blame God, why did you take me to the woodshed? And He's saying, well, if you'd obeyed me in the first place, you wouldn't be in the woodshed. I didn't take you there. You put yourself in there. Amen? I got tickled at my mother-in-law one time. She said, "Lewis, I started smoking when I was a little kid, and of course I didn't want, when she was a teenager. She said, I didn't want anybody, my folks, to know, because my dad would have tore me up if he knew I was smoking cigarettes." She said, "So I would go," and this is back many years ago when they didn't have modern restrooms, they had outhouses. She said, "So I'd go out in the outhouse and light up my cigarette." And I didn't realize that smoke went through all of those cracks. So I got caught. I thought that was pretty funny. Go to the woodshed. Go to the outhouse. So they trust everything. Little children, there's a third thing here. Let me just hurry through these real quick. I'm running out of time. They're not caught up with success. They are not caught up with success. They don't even understand what the word success means. Now, they may fight with one another and play when they're playing and all of this kind of stuff, but as far as trying to be somebody, they're just being children. They're not trying to be successful. Now, there's nothing wrong, and I know that nobody wants to be a failure. We all want to be to some success to some degree. But we don't need to be caught up in it to such an extent that it controls our lives. We need to let God take care of us, and He will. Another thing about children, number four. Number three, they're not caught up in success. Number four, a little child doesn't even worry about his clothes, his shoes, his food, or his provision. He's cared for and he knows it. So when the Bible tells us don't be worried, and when the Lord tells us don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing, and this is in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, consider the fowl. He says, I want you to look. You're my children. Consider the fowls of the air. They don't toil, they don't sow, they don't work. And your Heavenly Father supplies, I supply their need. He said, how much more value are you than a sparrow? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things I will add to you, He says. So they're not worried about all of these things. And when we start worrying about all of these things, we can pray. He said, if your parents, he said, if you have a parent and you go and ask for a fish because you're hungry, he doesn't give you a stone. Or if you ask for something, he doesn't give you a serpent. If your parents being relatively evil is being compared to God, how much more will they take care of you? Amen? So, he doesn't worry about those things. Number five, a little child is usually loved by everyone. And he loves everyone. He doesn't know any difference. Amen? He just loves everybody, whether they like it or not. Why? Because the love of God, the Bible says to God's children, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's given unto us. Amen? There's a lot of people I wouldn't love. But when I become a Christian, I had to, because I had the love of God in me.
It didn't mean I love what they were doing or love what they were saying about me or how they were trying to hate me or do me wrong, but I did love them because I knew that they needed to be saved and God needed to change their lives. And that's why God says we can pray for our enemies. Amen. Number six, little children don't hold grudges. They don't even know what a grudge is. Amen. They're not trying to get even. If they may get hurt, but by one of their playmates, but they're very forgiving. The first thing you know, they'll get hurt, and you get away from me. I don't want to be around you. But the first thing you know, they're back playing together again. Amen? He says, consider the little child. He said, y'all are trying to be great. You're wanting to, as a disciple, you're wanting to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, in religion. You want to be great. You want to be appear successful. You want to be somebody. He's telling you, if you want to be great, become as a little child. Because in the kingdom of God, everything's just the opposite. To be great is to be the humblest and the least, and to not consider yourself really to be somebody, but just to be one of God's children. Just be one of God's children. Number eight, another child is always a friend, no matter what they look like or what skin color they have. Also, does not care or even know about whether he is friends or rich or poor. Did you hear that? Number nine, he is generally happy and lives a joyous, happy, carefree life. He does not worry about anything. A little child also, number 10, is very humble and kind and gentle. You don't find little children being so mean sometimes. They can be, let me tell you for sure. But generally, they're just kind, you know. Number 11, a lot of little children enjoy learning and they learn quickly. And so that's one of the things that we need to learn spiritually. We don't know everything that we think we need to know. We just need to enjoy the Lord teaching us, and then we need to apply the principles that He teaches us. And we need to learn quickly so we can get on and grow and learn. Amen. I could spend a lot of time on all of these, but I'm not. Number 12. I like this one. A little child is quick to run to his mom or dad when he has a problem, and he's not embarrassed to give them a hug. Amen. God wants us to run to Him when we have a problem. Talk to Him. And in a spiritual sense, give Him a hug. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, somebody says, and it's really the truth, first thing you have to do is, we have to love ourselves. Not the old man that we were, but the new man we are in Christ. We can love that person. And God wants us to love that person, because if you can't love yourself, how in the world are you going to love anybody else? Are you listening to me? And one of the biggest problems that we have as Christians when we become Christians, and I'm about to close because I only have one more, is that we get so caught up in life and in the things of life, and that nobody cares for us, and the enemy comes in. And the Bible wants us to know, Romans 8:1, he tells us this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you have thoughts of condemnation and guilt and these things start coming into your mind to depress you and pull you down and to tear you down, you need to realize that that's not coming from God. That's coming from yourself, or it's coming from the enemy, and you need to get that. You need to get a hold of that. The Bible says, we struggle not against flesh and blood. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God wants to know that you're loved, and He loves you, and that's all that matters. And it doesn't make any difference what you've done in the past, or even what you've done when you, after you become a Christian, you've fallen. Well, so has everybody else. You with me? There's not any of us perfect. That's why He put us in a church with people just like us, so we can, when we see somebody that's fallen, we can go along, not condemn them, laugh about them, talk about them, and criticize them and condemn them. We can be on God's side and go try to lift them up and help them and encourage them, say, come on, I've been there and I've done that. Praise God, let's get up and go on. That's what the church is all about. That's what pastors should be all about, to help God's people, encourage God's children so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of, and develop that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as they're supposed to. So, last, and I close. Verse number 14. Little children form strongholds or bonds with those who love them. When you're with somebody, whether you know them or not, and you get to know them, you know they're Christians, and they have some things in common. As you get to know them, you want to be around those people. Amen? Because why? You know that they have the sincere love of God for you. They love you. They're concerned about not just what they can get from you. They don't even care what they can get from you. All they care is that, I love you, I like you. That's what it's all about. Now, there's some people in churches that pastors don't like, and people don't like the pastors and all that kind of stuff, and they don't do exactly everything the way they think they should be. But anyway, if you have a pastor that loves you, bless God, you love him back. Amen? And if you have friends and loved ones that are around you, and they're your friends and they're loved ones, and they love you, and you know that when you're around them you feel that love, then bless God, you know you're loved. You need to love them in return. Amen? And little children are like that. They don't want to see a loved one go away. They don't want to see them leave them. They want to be around them. And bless God, we need a lot of Christian loved ones. All of us do. We all need Christian friends and loved ones that are around us, not just our family, because the Lord tells us that in our own household, in the kingdom of God, the mothers are going to be against daughters, and fathers are going to be against their children, and brothers are going to be against sisters. He tells us that. Right at the very get-go, and the house is going to be divided against itself. You're going to have people in your same household. I've seen a lot of young people and wives that are Christians, or even husbands and their wives weren't Christians, and they're living in the same house. The husband and wife doesn't give a flip about why they go to church, read the Bible, or pray, but the wife does, or the husband does, or their mate does. Are you with me? And it doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right? That's an old saying. But it does make a lot of sense. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? You don't get anything else out of that, get that. Let's stand. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your prayers for all of us, for praying for one another, praying for our missionaries, praying for the church, and just, you know, being kind and gentle and supporting the work and your lives, your husbands and your wives and your children. And I just lift everybody before you, the throne of grace, and ask God to continue to bless you and encourage you and help you. If anybody needs to come to the altar as we close, you come on. Mary's going to play something for just a moment, give people to come if they need to come to the altar, need to pray for somebody, or just come to have us join with you, or for any reason, if you need to come, come right now. Go ahead, Mary. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Mary's playing something.